It is only a house.
You are very wrong, Mr. Winthrop. This house is centuries old. It was brought here from England, and with it every evil rooted in its stones.
You really believe this?
Evil is not just a word. It is a reality. Like any living thing, it can be created and was created by these people. The history of the Ushers is a history of savage degradations. First in England and then in New England. And always in this house. Always in this house. The pall of evil which fills it is no illusion. For hundreds of years, foul thoughts and foul deeds have been committed within its walls. The house itself is evil now.
Hold on. What wacky name do you want?
Are Boo and Ass taken?
Yeah.
Damn! Did my life get any worse?
Disappointing noise. Where they going, Chuck?
Galveston. That dirty ass water. We not even gonna sit near the Cancun. We gonna sit near the Galveston with that dirty ass water be washed up on the shore. You people think they're in the beach.
Must stop the terror. I call upon all nations to do everything they can to stop these terrorist killers. Thank you. Now watch this drive.
Somebody answer me, goddammit.
The room.
Go, go!
Same address as that fire signal.
I'll handle it.
Attention, whoever you are. This channel is reserved for emergency calls only.
No fucking shit, lady! Do I sound like I'm ordering a pizza?
The Holocaust. Do not use other genocides to describe this one. I have been...
Hey.
Oh!
Silence of the Lamb. Has anyone ever seen the Silence of the Lamb? The late, great Hannibal Lecter is a wonderful man.
What the? Loud is not allowed. Now you listen to me, mister. I work for a living. And I mean real work, not writing down gobbledygook.
I'm just going to leave this up to you because I have no idea.
All right. Well, welcome to the show. It is me and it's my friend Andres. No Steven today.
The dog.
The dog is in the house.
Unfortunately for everyone involved.
Now, today we're going to talk about an issue that's very important for our lives pretty weekly.
Exactly.
And it is the best fast food deals. Now, we're not going to put fast food in a tier list. We could do that, but we don't have to be that gimmicky.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah,
but
no.
Specifically, what are the deals at each spot? Like, growing up, like, what hit fucking different? Fucking... What is, like, all right, we're getting Carl's Jr. and we're getting these items because it's under $15 or whatever.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I basically, some deals I go for because the food is small. It's just shrinkflation out a lot of the times.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, well, at least I can say that I'm taking a bit of a diet. It's like, oh, I don't. Because the thing is, you talk about like a good deal today. And then you look at the prices like, I don't know, 20 years ago. You look at a friggin' McDonald's menu yesterday.
The Freedom Fries.
Oh, not only the Freedom Fries, but like a Big Mac combo was like, what, $3?
Yeah.
$3 for a double sandwich, basically. And then fries, good size medium fries. And then the drink was pretty default, pretty good.
It's probably like, you'd have someone's head if that cost more than $6.
Yeah, no, that poor freckled employee is getting elbowed until there is nothing but freckles. That employee is dead.
So back in the day, before it became so pricey, your go-to was McDonald's because of how cheap and how much you can get.
Yeah, no, for at least... It was only because it was ubiquitous. There wasn't a corner that there wasn't a McDonald's in.
Sure, yeah.
And it was the easiest one to go to.
This was like in your high school, so this is what, 2010?
High school, a bit of college. I mean, shoot, I at least for me, I never really put too much stock into the price of things.
Mm.
And then, you know, just hearing the chatter online, hearing your friends talk about it, like, oh, something's gotten expensive. And then you look at the menu of, like, different restaurants.
Yeah.
Jesus, Mickey D's is just like, yeah, we're just going to raise prices little by little. It's like, what happened to me being able to get, like, 20 McNuggets for $5? No, I have to go to Burger King. Oh.
Burger King. What happened there?
No, here's a comparison.
Oh, okay.
If you can, off the top of your head, tell me how much 20 McNuggets cost.
Right now?
Yeah, yeah. Take a guess. I'm sure it's fine.
Like $6.50.
$6.50 for 20 of those. Dude, $6.50, I don't know, like a year ago, would get us about 40 cheapo nuggets from freaking Burger King. We used to spend $15 just to get like 120, 150 for our gaming nights.
Well, I remember
Jesus.
In high school, we had a McDonald's close to, you know, it was like literally like 200 feet away from the high school.
Yeah.
And we would get the 40 nugget deal. Like, it was like something like $5 to $8 for like 40 of them. Mm-hmm. And we just split them as friends. Yeah. And for then it was good because then you eat at the McDonald's, so you get to really go custy on the sauces.
Mm-hmm.
Which yeah. I think that's for like.
Oh, that's another thing lost. You can't just get ketchup whenever you want anymore.
Yeah. I think the only people in the sauce game that I'm aware of is Jax. Jax has a bunch of different sauces.
Yes.
But otherwise, it's Chick-fil-A has a great sauce, but it's one sauce. And I think it almost, I think their whole brand gets carried by that sauce.
It is possible. I can't make an opinion on that just because I haven't had the Chick-fil-A sauce. I've had like different flavors of Chick-fil-A sauce. Like, I think I have Polynesian sauce.
Is that one of your, like, small causes you stand against homophobic chicken?
No, it's just...
There's no Chick-fil-A's around you?
Not only that, it's just... I'm a bit of a hipster. It's like, oh, Chick-fil-A is so great! Chick-fil-A is this, Chick-fil-A is the other! I'm
that's
like...
That's true.
Great. Yeah. I've had Chick-fil-A.
Hates Seinfeld, hates Bob Dylan, hates Chick-fil-A.
Look, I just don't find any humor in Seinfeld. What do you want from me? That one, I've watched a couple episodes, and I'm just like, this is situational. This is...
that is what
this is more. Yeah, no, this is so situational as to be banal. Just be every day. And it's like, there's not a lot of humor there for me. I don't know why I prefer this over, like, I don't know why I hate Seinfeld over, like, probably my favorite slice of life anime. Like, I can do,
Do you have one off the top of your head?
Azumanga Daioh is literally my seminal anime. That is the show that if you ask me to recommend you anything, like, any good anime that's, like, it's not full of, quote-unquote, fan service.
Right.
Or, like, it's super goofy of, like, oh, I died because I got ran over by a truck and I reincarnated in a high school in an alternate universe and six of these girls are mad in love with me, but they're also monsters, but they're also like cosmic deities and like all this nonsense.
Yeah, right? slice of lifetime.
It's actual pure slice of life. I think it's what Nichijou and Azumanga Daioh. Those are my big recommendations. Nichijou is if you want some more surreal, crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Azumanga is for like the more everyday goofy things. And right. It's for me, it's just, it's simple, it's efficient. Both the sub and the dub work, you know, pretty good work on all fronts. It's just super solid and just, it just works.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that I love about Azumanga is that you can go back and watch it over and over because at the end of the day, it also just makes you feel good. You watch it and you feel comfortable.
Yeah, there's, Rebecca's very into like comfort animes.
I was gonna say if you can, I will let you borrow my DVD of Azumanga.
Oh, you have it on DVD.
I ripped that DVD just so that I can have it portable. Nice. Yes, I straight up went there. I'm like, I'm tearing these episodes from the DVD. I'm recording them and I'm having them forever. For just like, oh, I have a new computer. That's what goes in there. MechWarrior 2, Azumanga Daioh, and Dolphin. Those are the first three I go for. And then Steam. Mm-hmm. Because at least with Dolphin, I can play it on almost anything.
Yeah.
Azumanga Daioh, good show that I can watch forever. That isn't tied to a subscription service.
Right.
And MechWarrior 2 is because I played MechWarrior 2 when I was like, I don't know, 8. And I loved that game ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine with that. I love that line.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I mean, this is good. This is great.
I think this is just less distracting by having that up instead.
Yeah, I mean, either war. I also just get to see this, and it's like...
Oh, yeah, you get to judge me on what apps I have.
Not precisely. I mean, I get to just guess, because, like, here's the thing. This is shared. This we know is shared.
Kind of. It's like, you know...
Is it mostly yours?
It's 95% mine. I think you could make a guess on which two applications are shared.
This one and this one.
No, actually.
This one and this one.
Yes.
I figured.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, the thing
actually,
is,
well, that one. We're pointing at Undertale, by the way. Undertale is, I've never gotten past like meeting Sans pretty much because
I played the game, I finished it. Could care less.
I think it's like good, especially when it came out in 2015. I think it like it's a thing that, like, I don't know how empty the field was in 2015 for indie games, because I feel like now it's indie everything.
I'm not sure it was. The thing is, this, I mean, I think it was just a well-built game for a slightly not normal audience, you know, for the guys who are weirdos or out there, for guys who want something different, and this was different enough.
Yeah, that definitely wanted like an insane world building and then like pretty clever dialogue around
it. Yeah, and good mechanics. It's a, again, I don't like it, but that doesn't mean it's not a bad game. Yeah. No. I just...
It's well-crafted for sure.
Yeah, no, it's well-crafted, and it has quite a lot of passion through it. Yeah. Not only from the fans, but from its maker, too. That is... this is a passion project. I could care less.
Yeah.
I'm just... No.
I think the only contemporary it had at the time was, like, Binding of Isaac is the only... And it's like, they're not the same game, but, like, I know people were, like... At the same time this was coming out, it was like, if you weren't playing Undertale, you were playing... The first round of Overwatch or Binding of Isaac?
I think so, yeah. But I could be wrong. I don't even know the time frame. I just know that I played it, and I'm just like, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, the parts that, you know, again, it wasn't all bad. It's just I'm not one of those guys that plays this game, and it's like, this is so good that I have to play it again. This isn't Spider-Man.
Yeah.
This isn't Insomniac Spider-Man, where the mechanics and just existing in the game is so good, for me at least, that I would play it over and over and over again. This game isn't a game where I can exist. And so I don't really care for it.
Right. I think a big thing is when things come out for these type of sensations. Like, Undertale came out for me when I was 15. Mm-hmm. So, of course, so many people in my high school, like, cared about it.
Yeah, no.
And, like, it was kind of who it was made for at the time.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But, yeah, no, just Undertale. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. What are we talking about? Food prices?
We're talking about fast food, but...
That's one thing that's got to be, that we got to make sure is that we keep on topic somewhat. Because we can deviate, but also...
I don't know, I think deviation's good if it's clean.
Was it clean? That's the thing I can never tell. Well, I can deviate I think
respectfully, your ADHD, like, finds things in conversations to relate to something else, and I think that's fine, because I can, you know...
You can riff on it.
We can keep up with it.
Which is good, because, again, not a lot of people can keep up. Most of my close friends, they're pretty solid. So I'm like, thank you guys. But yeah,
I think going back to price gouging, I was going to ask, I wanted to open with this, but I think the food thing was more comfortable of a topic.
Yeah, but what is it?
Do you think people are inherently evil?
Do I think people are inherently evil?
Yeah.
Do you want my sarcastic answer, my non-answer, or my honest answer?
Let's start with your non-answer to answer this question.
People are people.
Yeah?
People are who they are, you know? We're each shaped by our individual experiences, traumas, and various other events that happen around us, within us, and everywhere, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, my answer is yes, I think people are evil. But I don't think it's out of malice. I think it's out of hiding insecurities or... Again, like the classic seeing flaws around you all the time, and that effect, we don't overcome that affecting us, is seeing other people's mistakes, or either back in ourselves, or it's like, oh, I remember when I swore in front of a child?
Yeah.
Damn, I suck.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you're going to go with the honest answer, is yes, humans are inherently evil. I don't have such a great view on them. I'm not willing to show forgiveness for that kind of thing, because to me, and these are conversations I've had before, humans are extremely efficient and very good psychopaths.
Yeah.
These are the people, the humans, Homo sapiens sapiens, are the species that is able to kill and enslave with such efficiency and unrelenting, like, fervor of passion, drive, energy. I mean, you look throughout history and it's a history of absolute violence, absolute, like, savagery, absolute control, brutality. It's horrible, not only to animals, to other humans, to other people, you know, to other proto-humans. You know, I'm pretty sure we killed and ate a bunch of our other, like, competing human opponents.
Yeah, probably.
You know, we've done things of such unspeakable horrors that I'm pretty sure even at this late point, there is no worth, there is no, you know, redeeming qualities for humanity anymore. There's nothing worth redeeming at this point.
Not our art?
Barely.
Barely.
I frankly I don't really have a high view of humanity. People are great. And I'm going to borrow a line from one of my favorite comedians. Mm-hmm. I believe in, I'm going to change it a little bit. I believe in the individual humanity. People suck.
Yeah.
You know, people in a group are an absolute just, it's the worst.
Yeah, someone asked me how I was doing the other day who I haven't talked to in a while, and I was like, in short, work is easy, but people are hard.
Yes, and that's the thing. The menial tasks that we do are easy. Hell, doing anything is easy. Mm-hmm. Dealing with people's a pain. But then again, we're not normal, are we?
We're not... you or people?
Well, in general, for example, me and you, in comparison to the average person, we're not normal.
No, we're not.
No, we're not. We deviate quite a bit, slightly. Like, for example, I am not very social. I'm not very good at socializing. I'll admit to that.
Me neither.
But even then, like, just knowing how people were, are, and, you know, like, just doesn't really, I'm, like I said, I just have a very dim view of humanity in general. Like, all the groups of people, it's just, we're messed up.
Do you think your opinion of humanity would change if we didn't have, like, Twitter to look at all the time, or we could see all people's, like, trolling thoughts?
No, it would make it harder for me to reach this conclusion.
Okay, okay. So,
because the thing is,
just Twitter accelerated our view of this.
No, Twitter and social media in general exposed humanity to the fact that human stupidity is not, it's not going to go away. In fact, if it possible, given any length of rope, it will go. It will just go. It'll exponentially increase, and it'll become greater than everything. Like, the breadth, the scope, the size of human stupidity, in my opinion, cannot be bound by the limits of this universe. In fact, it would be impossible. It would just be unattainable. There is nothing, in my opinion, that can bind human stupidity to a limit. It's impossible. Because that's how dumb we can get. And we'll get dumber. Again, but then again, you're talking to somebody who holds a dim view of humanity because of conversations I've had discussing just existence, humanity, you know, what we are, who we are, what we do, why we do things. You know, conversations that involve, you know, history, psychology, and all these things. You know, things that I have a relative interest in on occasions. So, again, Twitter, social media just accelerated or at least made it bare just how bad we can get. Because, I mean, we're... attention whoring, really. It's, mm-hmm. it's the need for validation and attention and all these things, and you know how we're slowly or quickly becoming wired to just chase those hits of dopamine every single time, and you know, chase that happy stuff or chase the things that will make you happy. It's like, yes, sure, you know, you should be happy, but like also don't make it your main thing in life, because you then just bowl over a lot of things in your pursuit of that individual happiness. You know, worry about communal happiness, and in which case it will be easier to attain that individual happiness. But, you know, I'm talking to no one here because nobody's going to say, oh, wow, he's right. Not, and even if somebody were to hear this, they're not going to go, oh, he's right. Because people don't look inwards as often as they should. People don't.
Well, I hope you all had a happy Mother's Day weekend.
I did.
You did?
I did, actually. It was pretty okay. I didn't go to visit mom's, but I got to call her. And the thing is, it worked out, because it's like, I call my mom, hey mom, I'm actually going to visit over there if I can. It's like, probably not a good idea this month. Like, why not? Oh, well, we just moved, and we're fixing up the place, and I'm going to be pretty busy. It's like, aw, well, that's okay. You know, I'm not a big visitor.
Yeah.
But at least I have a second holiday that I can visit in, where I'll be able to see mom and grandma and a few of the family members, because it's grandma's birthday sometime in the next month or so, you know. So I'm not too beaten up about it because I get to see mom at a later day, mm-hmm. which is good for me because visiting takes time, takes effort, takes it takes me staying at home for 2 days just like building up energy like I'm some sort of like awful Saiyan.
Yeah. For 5 years, we with Rebecca and coming from a split home, like every weekend I'm being pulled. Not as much lately, I will say. I think the last year they've kind of made realistic expectations of how far I could stretch myself.
Yeah, which is good.
Right. But there was a good 3 years there where it was like, got to visit Rebecca's parents, got to visit my mom, got to visit my dad's mom, and so on. And again, I like doing these things, but it's just like, it's so rare to have a weekend to myself.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Is it just a Mother's Day weekend or just a weekend in general?
The weekend in general. Mother's Day weekend, normally it'll come down to seeing like either my mom or her mom and seeing the other the week after. So the person who really loses is my stepmom, because they kind of get a text and hopefully some years this year, gifts. I don't have time to visit you.
When you have that many like people to visit, somebody eventually is going to get the shaft.
Yeah.
You know, like if you ask me to visit all my aunties and uncles in like a weekend, one of them is not getting visited.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, that's just how it's going to be, because where they're at, what they're doing, how the weekend looks like, and maybe they made other plans. It's just, somebody is going to get the short end.
Yeah.
You know?
I was lucky that, like, my whole family pretty much lived in the range of Yuba City to Sacramento. So, at most, I'm doing a 50-minute drive anywhere.
Yeah. For me, they're in on opposite, near opposite ends of the state.
Yeah.
So, it's like, either I visit a big chunk or a small chunk.
Or, like, you know, I see my grandparents, like, well, now with... So, I do my laundry still at my grandma's house, because why pay for it if I'm able to? Plus, you know, I get to visit her and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I go there, like, probably like twice a month. And even before she moved to where she does now, I'd still see her like 6 to 8 times a year. Rebecca gets to see her grandparents because they live in like Philadelphia and the other set lives in North Carolina like once a year or once every 2 years.
Yeah, no, that's how I am with like some of my family. Like I have one half in the United States and the other half in like down south.
So yeah.
I get to visit those guys once a year.
Yeah.
Whenever I can. Just it's like, yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that much visitation is just so much effort.
Family really stretches thin, but you know, if I were to do the fusion dance between evil and family, we have religion. What, how has religion impacted your life?
I like how the first tape is, hey, let's get all the things that can possibly boil blood boil us out of the way.
Yeah, I think this is good. And then
I honestly, like, are you asking my viewpoint on religion in general, organized religion, faith?
Let's what, go to you specifically, and maybe how it relates to your family.
Relate to religion.
Yeah,
okay.
How did organized religion affected your upbringing?
Not as much as people would say, because while I may come from a Catholic home. I wasn't really expected to be a Catholic.
Yeah.
Sure, some of those teachings were brought over because that's what we know, right? But I really wasn't, like, it wasn't a demand placed upon me personally that I be a Catholic. You know, it wasn't that you must follow the faith. It was more just much more, you know, at least just try to be a good person or something.
Yeah.
You know? So it was more the expectations of being a good person than it was being a Catholic, you know? So organized religion wasn't a big part. It was relatively there. It was present. It got a little more present when I was in high school because we used to have to go to church every Sunday. And I found some ways to get out of it. I'm happy.
Nice.
look, when you talk this much, somebody's eventually going to get tired. And eventually I'm going to be expected to not show up.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Fair enough.
Hey, look, when you're in church, the best thing I can do is gossip. So yeah, I'm going to talk smack about every single person in this joint. Hate on everybody. It's like, why do you talk about the person in front of me? Because she yells like a fucking siren. That's why. And I hate her. Why do you hate that guy? Because he's in a wheelchair and he's, you know, taking up too many space. Oh, no. I would hate on everybody. I would talk smack on everybody. Here's the thing. I think the reason I talk smack on everybody there is because a lot of the people, especially the people that I was surrounded with in my immediate vicinity, were like near fanatic levels of people. You know, the kind of person who prays for their son to get better. It's like, no, take him to physical therapy and do the legwork.
They have like the Steve Jobs get healthier of just eat twigs and berries.
Not even eat twigs. No, it's
just pray
the pain away. It's like no. This kid is stuck in a wheelchair and he's living not a great life. I mean, he's living comfortably because, well, that's what you do as a parent.
Right.
You know, some expectations still have to be followed. Like, even if you're a crap parent, you're still expected to provide, especially in like Latino cultures. Mm-hmm. It's like you're expected to do your job as a parent. You know, you don't get out of it and say, oh, I'm just going to abandon him. No, you have to do your legwork. But there is a lot more legwork that comes with a person with special needs. There's so much you have to do, so much dedication. I'm pretty sure they had it, and I just didn't see it. I will cop to that. Mm-hmm. I will admit to the fact that I was definitely much more of a hater because I was in an environment that I didn't care to be in with people who screamed a bit too loud. Because like, oh, praise the Lord. It's like, shut up. I do not want to hear you wailing. But then again, I'm in an environment I don't want to be a part of.
Right.
So of course I'm going to lash out. Yeah. And I'm younger, so definitely going to lash out. So again, there are definitely things that I didn't see. Of course, you know, granted. But again, back to the topic of how it affects my life. Not particularly. I mean, I did become a Bible basher at one point when I was in high school.
Mm.
And that brought a bit of a head. It came to a head with my my partner at the time,
mm-hmm.
when I was younger. Yes, I did date when I was 17.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess I was still trying to figure myself out. And I thought that I fell into the atheist trap. If you're an atheist, you're obviously smarter.
Oh, I said
that trap. Okay. That trap. It's the intolerance of the atheist, if you will.
I thought you were just taking that matter of fact. Like, if you're an atheist, you're probably smarter than me.
No. Is that I believe myself. If I shun faith and I argued it enough, I could disprove faith as a general concept. It's like, growing up, that was a foolish idea.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. Moving on from like that kind of thing to where I am now, it involved the study of the effects of faith on people.
Mm-hmm.
And faith does have a significant effect on our psyche. Mm-hmm. You know, it does affect us positively and negatively. So, you know, belief, despite the lack of evidence, does have a purpose, or at least it does have a good use. For example, if you're like a cancer patient or you're like, you had your leg sewn off, having a bit of faith that things are going to be better, even if it isn't any particular deity, just the idea of belief in something without evidence.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if you're going to get better from cancer. You don't know if you're going to get better from X or Y or Z, right? You don't know. But if you believe it, it could lead to some slight improvements, which coupled with therapy and other things that you have to do, like physical therapy or other recovery methods that you have to undertake for whatever you're going through, could be beneficial. You know, again, no harm in having faith that something is going to get better. No harm in that at all. And that's kind of where I, you know, separate faith from religion, because organized religion is a cancer.
Yeah.
Faith itself can be a very useful tool in various situations, really, you know, especially when you're feeling down and doubtful. Sometimes just blindly having faith that things will get better does lead you to have a slightly more positive outlook, and it leads you to see the better things in your day. You know, again, faith can be useful. Religion is a pain. So,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't until I studied that whole thing, and it wasn't until I got into psych courses and really kind of just tried to absorb as much knowledge as I could, all things withstanding, is that I kind of just made the separation between, you know, and also knowing about the religion and its usages as more of a tool of control rather than a tool of spiritual growth and liberation. Because again, religion does have the potential.
Yeah.
Potential. And it's often squandered by people in power to push their own agenda. See evangelicals.
Yeah, or the Crusades or any other
movement.
Pretty much any war except for about land has been religion-inspired. Yeah.
And thus leading back to the idea of humans are extremely efficient psychopaths who have to justify themselves to something so they don't feel bad about the sheer horrors that they commit upon each other.
Yeah.
If Sky God made me do it, then it's fine, right? No, it isn't. That was all your hand, bud. That bloodshed was yours. But that's my views on religion, is that religion is a sometimes useful, oftentimes malignant thing in society because we're not willing to be tolerant of other people's viewpoints and just accept them. We have to have our way or there's no way.
I think me, you, and the other co-host of the show, Steven, are kind of like like the evolution of the same guy, where he is the, you know, the Charmander who is the most chilled, the most like kind of laid back and that kind of vibe.
He's the lazy river dude,
right?
Where he can actually hang in that lazy river,
right? I'm ugly Charmeleon who's kind of in between. I'm a little more manic than him. Mm-hmm. I can get angrier. I can get louder. I could put a little more passion to. I think he has passion in what he believes in,
uh-huh.
but he doesn't. And he'll tell you about him. But yeah. I think he has a.
He's mostly chill.
Right. He won't do it loudly, which is like not like.
It's not a bad thing.
I don't think he's doing it, like, to get away with preaching. I'm not saying that. But I think it's just, like, it's a much easier thing to take in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an amped up version of that. And I think you're Charizard of this. I think you could do a one-man show, which you kind of do via Twitch.
Yeah, I stream for a reason.
Yeah, you can go off.
The thing is, I need something to go off of. And oftentimes I find it when I play video games, you know. Especially in a game that I know, I can do that. For example, the current game that I've been playing, I haven't been able to do that as much, but I kind of just find things to just talk about sometimes. Sometimes when it's a big action moment where it's like, oh, I actually have to concentrate to actually pass the game.
Yeah.
That's when I do it. And even right now, sometimes I don't talk as much as I should, quote unquote. For example, in Tekken, that's a game that does take attention because it's like, do I want to win this match? Yes.
Yeah.
Because I got to focus.
Yeah, I'll see you, like, if I hop onto your stream and I see you going around Sniper Elite or Bully or whatever, you definitely can talk about whatever, like, comments say or whatever. You can, like, talk someone to death in a good way, because that means you're entertaining and still providing substance.
That's why I'm Riff Master G. I want that to be my name at some point. Like, I gotta earn it, but I want that to be, like, the thing. It's like, no, he's a Riff guy. He can do that.
But as, like, the one time I tuned in for the Road to Glory of Tekken, it was just seething. I could almost feel the breathing seething rage, and then, fuck!
Yeah, because at some point I'm trying so hard, and it's like, oh! I do often chastise, not even chastise, but just question my roommate's rage whenever he plays, for example, his game, Street Fighter VI.
Yeah.
I often question it, but I do know I do sometimes realize I have those same, like, moments. But most of the time, I am pretty chill, and I'm like, yeah, I lost. Oh, well.
Right.
You know, I could take that loss more than others.
I just think you're a very extreme guy, where you have, like, you're a very charitable guy, where you'll do deeds for people that you don't necessarily have to do, and you know you won't get rewarded for them. Mm-hmm. But you also have a lot of hate to give.
Yeah, no, I get both ends.
You could very easily get irritated and go off on somebody, but at the same time, if you're in the right headspace or, like, have something to look forward to, you can be very patient.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. I think for me, more often than not, it's landing in the wrong headspace, which is often, which, again, I'm not saying that's a good thing. It's a thing.
Yeah,
it's just I oftentimes land in the wrong headspace. So, you know, because default, it's like, well, you know, the world's not a great place. That's just a fact. Am I really going to be spending my time making it worse? I can. I mean, I've been a hater at some points in my life, at some points in my day. I've been just a flat-out hater.
Yeah.
I'm not AJ Styles. No. I'm not Drew Mack. I'm not Kendrick. God damn, I'm not Kendrick. Not yet, and not in the right mind space. But, you know, I don't often see, like, a reason to make things worse. You know, it's like somebody needs help. It doesn't take that much effort for me to say, here, you know, what do you need help with? And then it's oftentimes not a big thing. So why not do it?
On the contrary, though, there are times where if someone's like, hey, can I get something? And you're like, no,
no,
no. And just like, and again, to a point, like when you work out of middle school, like you're going to go insane if you can't mess with the kids a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
no.
But it just every time it's like, can I go to the bathroom, please? It's like, no. Well, you haven't deserved that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, oftentimes I will do it as a joke.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, everybody knows the bit by that point.
Yeah.
You know? But there is a few times where you notice that no is legitimate. You know? And oftentimes, when it comes to bathroom breaks, I do try to just give them out as much as I can. Because it's like, yeah, I don't want you to have an accident in your pants, so please go take care of that. But like, or for example, when somebody tries to sneak off a little bit earlier, it's like, no, you can hold it. See, mm-hmm. That's a more earned no. Yeah. Because it's like, no, you're just trying to sneak off and get to wherever you need to go to before everyone else. It's like, no, That's not the procedure. That's not how it goes. That's not how this works. Sorry, I have to follow the rules.
I was going to say, organized religion could be a tool for evil of people in power. But that doesn't mean you don't like organized establishments, rules, procedures, and all that.
I need organization in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of, like... I'm not a bit... Okay. I have a conflicting thing where I'm like, I'm not a big fan of being so strict that it's, like, immovable. But I also know that I need that kind of thing. I need some structure.
Like, you need the structure for your, like, personal mindset, like, throughout the day. Like, you need to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then also, like, you don't want to be, like... No one likes to be, like, under the thumb of, like, the man or whatever, but yeah. You do know, like, your main job is enforcing the rules of the man, so yeah. Thus you can't let them get away with too much, even though you would like to.
Yeah, like, Kid A asked me, hey, I'm gonna go do this thing. I like Kid A, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind letting him go.
What if Kid B has a reputation of screwing around?
Yeah, I'm gonna be a little less stringent, but honestly, I still would probably say, yeah, get out of here, because...
Yeah, that's the other thing. Is like sometimes it's just like get out of my hair.
Yeah,
it's if, like, if go you want to join the other class, fine.
Yeah, yeah, because it's like
as long as the you know whoever's you're going to is okay with it. Yeah, whatever.
If they can't handle you and I don't want to handle you, you are in big trouble because at that point nobody wants to handle you, and at that point you're stuck following the rules because you basically in some sort of like prison, if you want to call it that, or at least in some sort of like unofficial timeout. Well, so you might as well earn your way back out of it so you can go goof off again.
Yeah. Also just, like, we are just glorified babysitters a lot of the day.
Yeah, no.
And, so. Like, we have, like, some tasks that, like, make a difference outside of, like, being, like, a good role model or, like, whatever outstanding citizen for, like...
I'm not a good role model at all.
I mean, yeah, but, like, you're not supposed to be outwardly bad to people like these kids are to each other by stealing food or whatever.
That's a topic for another day.
I meant the kids stealing food for themselves, not...
Not what happens after, not what happens upstairs. Okay, fair enough.
That's what I'm...
No, but yeah, like, if you're stealing somebody's food, bro, just... What are you doing?
Yeah.
You ask!
Well, that's the thing, is, like...
That's also the thing where I can break some rules.
Yeah, me and Steven will, you know, be critical of the child and, like, you know, teach them a lesson or whatever. You, like, why... You hate... You know, bad, like, people doing a bad thing, where it'll very quickly get you fired up about, like, why would you do something that bad?
Maybe it's because I consider it, like, a default state to stay within the rules, because that avoids a lot of trouble, and quite frankly, I don't
Trouble doesn't sound like fun.
Yeah, but, like, I at least want to pick my fun. It's either a fun that I know I'm gonna fail, but I'm still gonna do it anyway, because it's funny, or one that I know I'm gonna, like, come out of the other side, just, like, oh, nothing happened.
I think a lot of people, especially if you're a child, have that barrier of, I'm going to do it anyway because it's funny, exceeds your barrier by a lot. Like, yeah. They'll do something because it's funny if it's, like, putting on a blindfold and jumping table to table in the lunchroom.
No, you don't do that without planning it a few times.
I'm just saying, like...
No, that's what I mean by, like, I would get angry at that. Because, like, you haven't even thought about this.
Yeah, there was... Follow through with that at
Yeah,
all.
There's a plan, there's a test, but there's an execution.
But they know... If their friend pulls out the phone to put it on TikTok, they'll do it.
Yeah,
because
it's that attention.
It has something. You push something far enough, and that's the other thing is like if you bend the rules even further, it's a thing where like something comes around being funny again.
Yeah, no. But oftentimes they don't land that.
No, they don't.
They don't land that. They don't go full tilt.
No,
it's like being so angry that you become zen. None of these kids reach that. They just explode.
I don't believe in that. I don't think you become so. You could just become seething quietly. I think that's where you reach.
I've actually done it a couple times where I become so annoyed that I've just thrown everything out of it, and I just like.
And there's no annoyance anymore.
There's just nothing anymore because it's so.
I don't think that's healthy
rage.
Either.
It's not, and I don't do it often. I that's why I took up a little bit of meditation because I'm like I've been too angry and I. Don't think drugs every single day is a good idea.
Yeah.
Because you can drown it. Sure. You can drown it in taking, like, in smoking weed or drinking alcohol. You can drown it. But it's not as healthy.
Mm-hmm.
In the long run, it's not as healthy. So I'm like, again, you know, okay, back to the whole tilting far enough that you become zen.
Sure.
Again, the first time I tried meditation, I became so pissed off that I just thought, fuck it. I'm just going to meditate. And I actually concentrated on it, and I'm just like, because throughout the time, all I could think is, I'm so angry, I'm so angry, I'm so angry. And then I just told myself, try letting it go. Try not keeping it on you. Try not burying it. Not, you know, putting it in the back burner. No, no, no.
Actually, take it, getting it away.
And just leave it there and don't pick it up. You don't have to.
Yeah.
You know, because it's anger born from somebody else's stupidity.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I don't have to stand that. I don't have to carry that.
I got enough of my own stupidity to get pissed at.
Honestly, yeah, I got enough of my own nonsense to get through that I don't really care to have the energy to deal with theirs, you know? And it's a bit of like, what's worth more to you? You know, what's worth more to me? It's like, is it worth it for me to be angry at this person and thus not be, for example, present for my friends who love me and care for me?
Mm.
No, it isn't. Quite frankly, there are people who deserve my time, my effort, and even my anger far more than this than these other people do. They don't deserve anything. So I actively do try to think, yeah, this person's, I'm only having to deal with people like these people from point A to point B. Anytime after that, they cease to exist, and that is better for me.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't have to. Because, it's about victory and losses, too. You lose when you let somebody else control you. And quite frankly, I'm not about to do that.
Right.
But that's me, of course. That's how I function. It's like, I see this person, I don't like them. Well, if you don't like them, why think about them at all? Why pay attention? Why give them anything, right? I hate them enough that I'm not even going to bother with them.
It's funny. You saying all that reminded me of just like, this is going to sound very baby brain, but like homework, you know, as a kid, you hate it.
Yeah.
And it's like, but then as adult, it's like, you don't want to take anything home with you because then all you're doing it is berating your partner or your housemates or whoever you live with.
Yeah, you're just angry at home and it's like, I'd rather not be.
Right, and like just anger dumping your problem on someone else. And yet we have homework, which is just, I was at school for 8 hours today. Why do I got to do two more of it?
Yeah, no. And quite frankly, some of these kids smarten up and said, I'm going to do my homework here and not take it home.
Well, yeah, that's what, like, in high school, my senior year, I only had four periods.
Mm-hmm.
So just as soon as fourth period was over, I just did work and then went home and did nothing.
Play Super Mario Sunshine.
Yeah, or Mario Party 4, or watch wrestling or something.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of the thing. For me, that's crust versus filling when it comes to pizza. In fact, I often take that kind of philosophy for a lot of things. Get the boring, crummy, not so great thing done first, and then have fun with the filling.
Yeah, so, okay, you know, lighting up the conversation a bit. That's how I eat, like, Pop-Tarts. I am a squirrel, and I eat around it all, and the middle is the part.
It's the filling, it's the good stuff. Yeah. Yeah, it comes with pizza. Because here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can take the crust off that pizza. You know what I can do with that crust?
Yeah.
I can treat it like a breadstick.
Yeah, dip it in sauce. Stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I can dip it in garlic sauce. I can dip it in like tomato sauce. It can be made fun. And then afterwards, you have the rest of the pizza. And that's the good stuff. Pepperoni, sausage, onions, pineapple, whatever you want on it. Whatever is on your pizza. You can have that last. And that's the best part.
Pizza place growing up, where was
it? Fuck, I don't think I had one. Because pizza wasn't a thing we had often.
Oh.
Because here's the thing. When you're young and you're living like down south,
mm-hmm.
there's not a lot of pizza places. They're in cities. And we live in a small town. So if anything, we had pizza from whatever people there decided to make pizza.
Okay.
Now, if you're thinking about like time here in the United States, sure. I still couldn't tell you I had one because we just went wherever was cheapest. When you're looking to save money on everything and you want to give your kid a treat,
mm.
you kind of just jump from place to place.
We were, like, if we were just feeling like pizza, Little Caesars got the job done.
Yeah.
Not anymore, because, again, going back to price gouging, it is not worth it anymore. Not go to Little Caesars.
What pizza is worth it for the price? You know it's not the greatest pizza in the world, but the price alone makes you willing to suffer through it. Because that used to be Little Caesars. Is there another place like that now?
So, there's going to be nothing, like, in terms of how cheap Little Caesars was.
Uh-huh.
But
it was $5 flat.
Right, and then it became $6, and now it's like $8.
Yeah, and they're making it like, oh, but you can have all these extras. Like, no, I just want a pepperoni pizza on the cheap and some breadsticks for like $8.
Not on that scale, but
What's the closest?
Moving it up in terms of like quality and all that, I'd say Pizza Guys. Because I think Round Table and...
God, no, don't even talk to me about Round Table. Not only did I work there, pizza fucking expensive for no good reason.
Pizza Hut and Mountain Mike's are the logos I have around here. Chains I have around here are more expensive than Pizza Guys. I think Pizza Guys just... The thing with Pizza Guys, though, it like goes down like water. Like, even like people who don't super like... you know, gorge themselves on pizza. Slices go like that. When it, just something about their grease just slithers down and just easily.
You definitely use grease to use lube. Good Lord. I think the only
thing... It'll save some people a lot of time.
Yeah. No, I think the one thing I would give Mountain Mike's is their size.
They do come bigly.
That big pizza is, I think for the money, for me, is worth it. Like, if I'm going to get Mountain Mike's, it better be the biggest pizza they have with all the meat they got on it. And that alone, I think, would be worth the price that I'm going to pay for that pizza.
I would mention Mountain Mike's or Straw Hat in this conversation.
Uh-huh.
But from my experience, those two take the longest to just be made.
Oh, like, yeah, that's what you call ahead. That's the one thing that I was taught from one of my buddies, mm-hmm. my buddy Ross. He always calls ahead and he's like, like, when are you going to pick me up? Oh, I'm half an hour away. I just got out of the house. Perfect. I'll call Mountain Mike's and we can have the pizza ready by the time we go pick it up because it will be like, what, 45 minutes?
Right. But I'm just saying, like, I think everyone calls ahead, but it's just the fact that it is like 45 minutes. Or just like sometimes when you go pick, for some reason, Mountain Mike's was the only place where it seemed convenient to like order like there. Mm-hmm. Like with Round Table or Pizza Guys, I'd call ahead and just wait for them to tell me, and then it's not.
You don't wait at Round Table?
No, I don't.
I waited at Round Table for the same reason I waited at Mountain Mike's. The ambiance is very similar, except Round Table is a bit more like sit down than Mountain Mike's. Mountain Mike's is just there for like, oh, we just give you seats.
If I'm gonna sit down at a pizza place, I think. Yeah, are you familiar with Straw Hat or not really?
No, I've never heard of Straw Hat.
Straw Hat, I don't know if this is just a Yuba City thing. I think there's other ones, but...
you can use a maps application to find it.
Yeah, but Round Table, yeah, is a good sit-down place.
It's a good sit-down. For a pizza chain. Yeah, they also have like a salad bar, which is nice.
Which is what Straw Hat had as well.
Had? What, they don't do... They don't do
oh, they might still. I just haven't been to Straw Hat in years.
Jeez.
We
might have to do like a thing where we visit old places that we've never been in. I'm not doing that ever again, but, like, I know there's a place you're not going to go to.
Well, okay, not to make this super unrelatable by just talking about Yuba City, but there was ice cream place called Marble Slab, which was like a Stone Cold, except just way better, where it did, like, the mix and stuff in front of you, and uh-huh. Its variety of toppings and when it's hot outside, I want the ice cream place to be cold as hell, so
Marble Slab wasn't cold?
No, it was cold. That's why it was my favorite growing up. Uh-huh. And again, it was just a one place. I think it's a Lumpia place right now.
Oh, Marble Slab gone, replaced by Lumpia.
Yeah, so I can't go back to that.
Shame.
Never mind on pizza, but...
Yeah, pizza, you can't go back to... not Marble Slab, it was Stone Pirates.
Stone Pirates? What's Stone Pirates?
Whatever the heck that place was. Was
it called? Stone Cold Creamery?
No, the pizza place.
Oh, Straw Hat.
Straw Hat. Pizza, I was wondering, like, it's related to One Piece in some gosh-forsaken way. Stone Slab. Stone something. Stone Cold Steve
Austin. Stone Cold Pizza.
Give me a freeze, yeah! Sounds terrible.
Yeah. All right.
So, that's enough about price gouging and the...
Let's end on...
There's no ending here.
All right, well, let's continue with a bittersweet note. I want to know about like your happiest time in a relationship. You don't have to name names, but like just like or like what did you
my get? Last relationship
was good until it ended.
Well, yeah, again, various factors that came into play just built up over time, and it ended in a breakup, and I was very broken up about it. But I can tell you for certain that the time I did spend there, not only was it like super awesome, it was great, and it led me to realize that as a person I am worthy of a lot of more things than I give myself credit for. You know, I am capable of a few more things than I gave myself credit for.
She helped you found your self-worth.
In a way, yes, because she was so supportive. She still is, in fact. I still talk to her. Mm-hmm. She's so supportive and so caring and just patient as hell and smart too. Like, she's got it all.
She had the whole package and I fumbled the bag.
I did. I will with no hesitation say that I quite heavily fumbled that bag. Not only for, you know, again, because I was still growing up and I still am, mm-hmm. but also for not being brave enough to take a leap with her. And I will fault myself on that one because I like the security that I have right now.
Was it a thing where she wanted you to move in and you just weren't ready for that? Or what type of next step?
Yeah, okay. That's the thing where we would be together, you know, out wherever she wanted to be. And I wasn't sure that I was ready. But the thing that I have to realize and I have to accept is that I'm never going to be ready for things. That's just not how life works. You can prepare for things. You can try to buffer against things. You can try making plans, but oftentimes those plans either go awry. The situation you buffered for wasn't exactly what you were in for, and so the buffering is inadequate. Or it's just one of those things that no matter how hard you try, it's going to hurt. Like, you can put, like, whatever you want on a Band-Aid here. Mm-hmm. It'll still hurt like hell tearing that sumbitch off. Yeah. So it's quite, you know, quite a bit of me that I fumbled quite a bit of that. And you know what? I learned my lesson, and for right now, I'm just not ready to date yet. I mean, you know, I want to do a few more things for me. You know, I want to focus on, like, a lot of my art and craft, you know. So I'm not really into dating scene right now. Mm. Would be nice. If it came my way, I'm not going to say no. It'd be great to find somebody. But at least now I know I need to find somebody who is as supportive and as weird as I am.
Yeah.
Somebody who I can be, like, weird and open with and is not going to be, like, yeah, I'm just going to record this for future generations and I'm going to make fun of you in about 20 minutes.
Right.
That kind of thing I don't need in my life.
I think when, again, it's been a while since I was single, but I remember, like, I don't know if it was trying, but, like, I felt like I'm just normal average man mm-hmm. going around living average life. Mm-hmm. And then being in a relationship, because you're just with someone for, like, so long, you just naturally become weirder because you have your own, like, inside language and all your inside jokes together where it just transforms you to, like, become weird. So I think it's better to obviously, like, be your more weirder self to find, like, the right match and all that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why a lot of people are like, oh, dating is so hard now, finding a match. And it's like, I think because everyone is trying to be too safe about it.
Yeah, that's one of the things, you know. And also effort. Mm-hmm. Some people have given too much effort. Some people don't like to give that much effort. Some people, again, it comes out also, it ties in with safety too. It's like, you want to play it safe. You want to make sure this works. Because dating is trying. Is a grind.
Well,
dating
is
a grind, especially in the modern era.
It takes time, which is why, like, it's, now this is not, like, going to, like, be an attack on, like, women who date online, but when, like, people, like, do, like, shaming of, like, they just sent me hey after they match with me, it's like, yeah, that's how the conversation starts, and then it takes time, and then you'll learn after a conversation if you want to talk to this guy again, not after one greeting.
Yeah, and it's not like it's only one side doing it, it's both
sides. Yeah, obviously.
Both sides end up doing it. In fact, the whole Bumble thing, and, you know, made that pretty clear.
Right.
Where it's like, I'm pretty sure it was, like, the complaints that men had about women had about men, it's like,
yeah.
Okay, so can we not learn from this and, you know, try to either take off pressure from ourselves to date in the perfect way?
Yeah, it's
or maybe to ditch dating, like, online dating altogether and just focus on going to social circles. Oh, wait. Modern structures have made that impossible because there's no more public spaces.
There's no more public spaces and rent's higher, so you don't
rent's higher, so there's not a lot of time to go somewhere. Yeah, no. Online, that's the thing. Online dating is the only kind of low-cost, full-of-people place you can go to.
Yeah, because also, like, the time that you have, like, all right, I want to socialize, and the thing is, does that sync up with my friend's schedule, which is, like super impossible, it feels like, for me, unless, like, again, you are very lucky to have someone at your workspace that you like talking to.
Yeah.
But, like, finding your personal friend's time, if they live, like, even in the same city, their schedule just can be so different from you, it's impossible. And then it's like, oh, I also want to date without using online dating.
Yeah, that's the thing. Because, again, the more efficient way to date would be offline dating. You can establish, you can make conversations, you can establish some sort of rapport. You can see, you know, in living color what the person looks like. You can see some of their tics. You can get a whole lot of information just from looking at them.
Yeah, because in high school, for me anyway, it's like you wouldn't like see someone and be like, all right, that's someone who I'm only going to go after in a dating way. It's someone who you just become like acquaintances with and then friends with. And then you start dating. Now, I've had friends who were women who, who are my best friends. I don't try to, you know, date my best friends because the whole like cringy like idea of like, oh, things change since you like people started admitting attraction for each other. But like, you definitely want to like build up knowing someone to at least a friend. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a best friend, but I think yeah, that's a more natural way instead of again. Taking a shot at, like, swiping on 50 people, two people respond.
And one of them is a hey.
And one of them is a hey, and then the other one is, like, you go to their house the first time, and it looks like their life is in more of a mess than yours.
Yeah. Or worse, they send you a dick pic. It's like, what am I supposed to do with this? And from the first time that she really done me. Ooh, she done me. She done me good. I guess nobody ever really done me.